Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would like to hear from you. The lines are open, and we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you'd like to talk about, give us a call now. 844-322-2742. The lines are open, and it's Basic Gospel. Here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to end the discussion on faith today, and we've been talking about faith all month, but we're going to end it today with a hypothetical question. And the hypothetical is this: what if God were to tell your story to the next generation? How would he tell it? What would he say about you? And I know in raising that hypothetical, just asking that question, a lot of people may be going, oh, no, they can't, you know, God can't do that. What would he say?
Yeah, I thought you said there was no judgment.
No, that's exactly right. But the reason I ask that is because God did tell a lot of people's stories, and we see all of those curated in one place, Hebrews chapter 11. It's that great hall of fame as far as the saints of old were concerned. And as you go in the Old Testament, you read all about their stories, you see warts and all. But then after the cross, once that sacrifice of Christ had been made and God said, I remember their sins no more, we see a different storytelling aspect from God. God simply talks about their faith. And that's going to be true of every single believer. If God were to tell your story, it would be a story of your faith in Christ Jesus. Now, that's not revisionist history. God isn't trying to rewrite everything, because there was the story of your sins, and that story was dealt with in Christ at the cross 2,000 years ago. Those sins were cast in the sea. Those sins were removed away from you as far as the east is from the west. And so that part of the story has come to an end. It's this new part, this new life in Christ that's lived out by faith. And so as you read through Hebrews chapter 11, you see constantly by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob. All of these were commended for their faith, for their trust, their dependence, their reliance upon the Lord Jesus Christ, their reliance upon the Word of God. And that's how God is going to tell your story. It's going to be a story of faith in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. That's good news, isn't it, guys?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, you know, it really is, because you look through all these Old Testament figures, and, you know, one of them, my favorite, is Abraham. And I love it, the way that the story is told and the faith is described, and yet you know that Abraham blew it big time. And I've talked about this before, but it just captures my attention that Abraham, you know, he had a plan B, and there was another woman involved, and there was another baby involved, and all of that. And yet the way that God describes him is that he had a faith that did not waver, and he's listed here as a hero of the faith. And, you know, it's just an encouragement to, I think, to all of us. We have our own resume in our minds, and we would say, gosh, my life is full of wavering. My life is all over the place. My faith has been up and down and all around. And then, as you said, Bob, God's description of us is a beautiful one. He doesn't count our sins against us. He doesn't count our wavering against us. It's as if we've never wavered one bit, one ounce. And it's just a testimony to how God has to take care of all of this, and his view of us is what really counts.
Yes, and you know, as we've talked about time and time again, and we'll talk about it as long as we're on the air, this whole gospel story is by grace through faith in Jesus. That's what's going to stand for eternity. God reaching down to us in Christ, in grace, us responding to that by faith. And that's the story God is going to tell throughout eternity, and it's going to be a powerful, powerful story. All of the heavenly hosts are going to say, wow, I wish I knew what that was all about, to have that experience of responding to the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, let's talk about it more on today's edition.
This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. And open lines at 844-322-2742. We await your calls right now. The lines are wide open, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk with Brad. Hi, Brad.
How you doing? You guys have done it again. Andrew, you're part of it. And I tell you what, the last 2 days, Andrew, I don't know if you've heard the discussion about James and Paul and faith and works. Well, I was just curious because I don't know what next month's topic is, but you know what? It could very well be faith, and we still wouldn't have enough time to cover it. Just in the Bible that I use, there's like 245 references to the word faith. It all mean, you know, from pistis. And I found 11 verses, and this just blew me away when I believe the Spirit connected it. Faith and believe in 11 verses, faith being the noun, believe being the verb. And when you go back to the work of the Father, the will of the Father is for us to believe. So that work all rests from faith through believing what God has said, what God has done, what God is doing. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I am just so encouraged as if I need any more of it, but I just keep getting it. And for Bob Davis, I am stuck in the ceiling today, Bob.
Don't fall, man. Don't fall.
So listen, I'll let y'all talk about that because there's so much. I just encourage people, just because this month ends and the topic's going to change, man, I tell you what, you can really be encouraged if you dig in and just look at the verses and the context with the word faith.
Well, you're exactly right, Brad, and thanks for those words and those insights. We appreciate that.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open. Friends, you know, if you're tired and burned out in the Christian life, there's probably a good reason for that. Doing your best to please God is a sure recipe for failure, and it's not what God wants for you. Find out what Richard Piper and many of us have learned, that there is a high cost that comes with the self-effort we call legalism. But, of course, legalism can take many forms, and you'll learn how to identify it in your own life as you journey with Richard through his message called The High Cost of Legalism. But here it comes, the but. Today is your final chance to get your copy of this CD with your gift to Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. Don't miss it, friends. This offer ends at midnight tonight, so click donate at basicgospel.net and learn about the high cost of legalism, possibly in your own life. Well, again, 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open, and we would love for you to join us on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and again, thank you all for joining us. Question from Teresa Geist. She says, I have family members that believe we should only eat organic and only take natural herbal medications. They are professed believers. They also think medical marijuana is good for you because it is natural. This has really divided the family because the rest of the family believes that if you thank God and ask for his blessings, you don't have to worry about what you eat. I'd just like to get your opinion on this topic.
Yeah, well, I think the deception is that anything and everything that comes out of the earth is okay. That could lead to all kinds of justifications for, you know, things like cocaine, which, you know, you could argue some of the ingredients there come from the earth. My point is that there are people, young people especially, that, you know, it's very concerning. They're, you know, inhaling salts and all kinds of things that are just no good for your body. They're harmful. So the argument that just because it comes from planet Earth, it's okay and it's a sound practice, I really think that crumbles to pieces when you take it and look at it more closely. But concerning foods, I mean, you know, I think that is pretty clearly spoken of in the Bible. It says all things are permissible, but not all things are profitable. And food is the context there. The stomach is for food and food is for the stomach. And you know, Peter had a vision. He saw that all food was clean now and that there was no unclean food. There used to be under Judaism, but now that he was dead to the law and free from the law, he wasn't to be concerned about foods. And then I think of giving thanks in all things, and that, you know, anything is really holy, meaning set apart and special, and can be honored and revered in our hearts just by giving thanks for it. You know, you can't give thanks for sin. You can't just say, well, God, here, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to give thanks to you for it, and so therefore sin becomes unsin. Well, obviously, that's an exercise in futility. But what I'm talking about is just the issue of foods. And I think that, you know, eating healthy is wise, and the pastor who condemns a smoker and then goes through the McDonald's drive-thru five times a week, that's hypocrisy. So, you know, let's just use sound judgment and wisdom and remember all things are permissible when it comes to food, but not all things are profitable. And you know, our body is the temple. We don't want to get legalistic about that, certainly not. And God's given us food to enjoy. But at the same time, when you're at the doctor's office three and five times because of your health, I think that's the body's way of signaling to us maybe we need to make better decisions. When it comes down to it, guys, at the end of the day, there's just freedom. I mean, there's Christian freedom in Christ. And then in the midst of that freedom, there's wisdom. And, you know, we just have to be sensitive to God's Spirit and sensitive to what our bodies are telling us when we make these choices.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what Paul said in Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but it's a matter of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times we bring these things like eating, the types of foods you eat or you don't eat, and we make that a litmus test as far as accepting one another in Christ. And those things can't be a litmus test. We have to realize that our connection one to another is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, this new covenant that we live in. That's what binds us together. We're a part of the body, not because of what we eat, not because of what we drink, not because of what we don't eat, or not because of what we don't drink. We're a part of the body because of the shed blood of Jesus, because of the resurrected life of Jesus, and this new covenant that binds us together as one in Him. And if we will stick to that, Andrew, I love what you just said. There's freedom, and then there's wisdom. There's the wisdom to know how to express that freedom in situations. And as we will depend upon the Holy Spirit and realize that it's all about joy and righteousness and peace in Him, we'll know how to handle those situations, yes. Won't we?
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Question surrounding the passage Hebrews 6, verses 4 through 8. This question from Jay actually takes three different form of three different questions, and I'll go over them one at a time if you like. First question was, who is the author referring to in verses 4 through 6, Jews or Gentiles or both?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to take these one at a time. And, you know, I think Hebrews 6, for the sake of the audience that's listening right now, it says, you know, it's impossible for those who've been enlightened. They've tasted the heavenly gift. They've shared in the Holy Spirit. They've tasted the goodness of the Word of God, the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they're crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting Him to public disgrace. Now, for the sake of clarity, guys, I think we need to read verse 7. It says, land that drinks in the rain, produces a crop. And then it goes on to say that land that rejects the rain produces thorns and thistles. So I think that gives us our answer. In other words, there are people that have tasted but not swallowed. There is a land that has drunk in the rain, and yet there's others, other land that has not, where the rain did not penetrate. So, you know, the rain is a symbol of the gospel here. The gospel message falls on all kinds of soils, all forms of land. Some people drink it in. Some people take in the message, and there's a crop that is produced that would be salvation and the works that follow, the fruit that follows. But nevertheless, in this book of Hebrews, there are rejectors of the gospel. So who is it written to? First and foremost, I would say it's written to Hebrews. Secondly, it's written to humans, and that would be, you know, if the shoe fits, you wear it. And so this book is all over the place. I mean, the author of Hebrews wants to disciple Christians, but he also wants to persuade unbelievers to go ahead and believe. And there are people that are on the fence, and, you know, they're going back to the temple and they're flirting with animal sacrifices, and then they're coming over to the home church and they're hearing a little bit about Jesus and they're not quite sure what they believe yet. And so Hebrews 6 is written to these people that are on the fence. They've heard the elementary teachings, but yet they haven't yet been able to drink in the rain of the gospel. So that would be the who.
Okay. I think we can take questions 2 and 3 together, second part and third part. What does this activity of, again, crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame, what does that look like, and is this activity happening today?
Well, the public shame would just be literally I get up after my church meeting. I say thank you guys very much for sharing about Jesus with me. Now I'm headed over to the temple to sacrifice bulls and goats for my sins and to participate in the cleansing works of the temple. And so as I do that, as I trot over there, I am publicly putting Jesus to shame. I just finished hearing about the finished work of Christ. I just finished hearing about the perfect sacrifice for all sins. And yet I'm going to go over now and participate in animal sacrifices. So I am publicly saying, hey, guys, I've heard the gospel, but no thank you. I've heard about Jesus, but no thank you. I've heard about the cross, but that's not good enough. And so I'm going to go back and flirt with the temple works. And so that would be the public shaming that's being talked about. Does it happen today? Well, absolutely. Anytime someone hears the gospel and they hear of total forgiveness and yet they go back to some form of religious hoops to get right and stay right with God, that's putting what Jesus did to a public shame. If we don't have our confidence in him, then we're insulting what he did. And so that's why it's, you know, basic gospel. This ministry is all about saying whether you're already saved or whether you're not yet saved, man, let's look to Jesus. Let's put our full confidence in him. Let's not flirt with any other system. Let's say that our forgiveness is over. It's finished. It's accomplished. Jesus did a perfect work, and I'm going to put my confidence in him and in him alone.
Yeah, I find it fascinating that this passage in particular shows up right smack in the middle of the writer's conversation about Jesus, our great high priest. I mean, Jesus is so superior to everything, so overwhelmingly victorious, and then we've got these people who are sitting there going, well, I'm not so sure. And he's just saying, wake up, folks. I mean, this is Jesus we're talking about. This is very God who saved you from your sins, brought you back spiritual life. Please accept him. Stop riding the fence. Accept Jesus and move forward.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about the word repentance. I mean, they've been challenged to change their mind, to change their belief system, to really rest in the finished work of Christ. That is the repentance, the turn away from that old system, that old sacrificial system as a means of getting forgiveness and right with God, and to accept the free gift, the anointed one, to put your full weight of trust on Jesus. So that's the turning, that's the moving, the away from the old and embracing the new. Well, what type of repentance could you bring forth that is better than that? It would be qualitatively different than that. And so if you've rejected, how are you going to be renewed to that, a different type of repentance? It's not going to happen. It's Jesus. He's plan A. There is no plan B. You either receive Jesus or you don't. And for those that are sitting on the fence, it's time to get off the fence today. Yeah. If you've heard the message concerning Christ, if you've heard that Jesus died to take away your sins, that he was buried, and on the third day he was raised from the dead, if that message has flown into that mind of yours and you've understood it, Today is the day to receive it. Don't sit on the fence and say, I'll wait till tomorrow or the next day. Tomorrow isn't promised. No. So if you've heard the message, today is the day to respond. Don't go back to the old way of life. Go forward to this new life that is available to you through faith in Jesus because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection.
Right. Good, Bob. Thank you, Andrew and Richard and Bob, for that. Today also is your final chance to get your copy of Richard's excellent message, The High Cost of Legalism, along with your gift to Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. You know, legalism can take many forms. It's something that most of us deal with in some form or another, but it's not what God wants for all of us. You'll learn in this particular CD how to identify legalism in your own life. And we encourage you to take advantage of it today while you still can. And that particular offer ends at midnight tonight for the CD, The High Cost of Legalism. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. Well, a question from Jose says, I love your program and God bless you all. My question is, how do you handle family members who always have and still put you down? I pray for them, of course, and give them before the devil can get a foothold. They are unbelievers of Jesus Christ, and it hurts because they are my grandparents. Any suggestions? And thank you in advance.
Mm. Something that we all go through, isn't it? Yes, I mean, that's not, you know, a problem that is just isolated to a few folks. We all deal with people like that, whether it's family members or folks in the workplace or whatever it is. And guys, isn't this where our identity in Christ has to shore us up and be the foundation that we stand upon?
Yeah, I mean, you know, thinking about Jose, you know, he has to ultimately answer this question, who's right? I mean, who's right about me? When my grandparents say this, when my own relatives who know me according to the flesh, they know my history, my birth, my life, my track record. They know my faults. They know my past. They look at me in a certain light. And then, lo and behold, I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm born again. I get a new spiritual identity. You know, I'm crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, raised with Christ. I'm his child. I'm God's child now. I've got a whole new destiny and a new identity, as you said, Bob. And so then the question is, who's right about me? Because if my relatives are putting me down and they're criticizing me, I've got to have something that is stable and secure that I can lean on and look to in the midst of that. When the enemy uses their criticism to try to tear me apart and those fiery darts are coming, what's my armor? Well, my armor is that I am the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. I am forgiven. I am holy. I am blameless. You know, I'm a human and I have faults and I can admit to those. But when it comes to my worth and my value, my solid rock is Jesus Christ and my new identity in him.
Yes, indeed. And I think when you really understand that, then you're free to ask the question, why are they tearing me down? What's going on in their lives? What's happening in the depths of their souls? And then you can begin to actually minister to them. It's a process. It takes some time. But get your identity in Christ. Let that be your solid rock. Know who you are. And then be free to ask questions that will enable you to love others as Christ has loved you and be a difference in their lives. That's how it works.
Absolutely. Well, friends, again, if you're tired and burned out on the Christian life, there's probably a really good reason. Doing your best to please God is a sure recipe for failure, and it's not what God wants for you. Find out what Richard Pfeiffer and many of us have learned, and that is that there's a high cost that comes with the self-effort we call legalism. But legalism can take many forms, and you'll learn how to identify it in your own life as you journey with Richard through this message called The High Cost of Legalism. But today is your final chance to get your copy of the CD just by making a donation to Basic Gospel. Click donate at basicgospel.net on any page, as a matter of fact. Don't miss it. This offer ends at midnight tonight, so make your gift today to basicgospel.net. The High Cost of Legalism, yours with your gift. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Some very, very interesting questions and some very interesting commentary on those particular questions. We'd love to hear from you tomorrow at the same time. Get your questions ready and give us a call. But now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, along with Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.